Inkelin by Theodore Bentham Ross. Narrator Diana Donovan. Astrology Wee, a man for the ages. The telegraph office in Springfield, Illinois, smelled of coal smoke and nervous sweat on the night of November 6, 1860. Abraham Lincoln had arrived there some time after 10 o'clock, tall enough that he had to duck slightly through the doorway, and he settled into a chair to wait for the returns from the east. The city outside hummed with a tension that had been building for months, to the raucous Republican convention in Chicago's Wigwam, to the stumping tours that Lincoln had deliberately refused to join. Through the long, anxious summer, while three other men competed for the presidency of a nation that might not survive the outcome, the returns came in pieces, each telegram shifting the arithmetic in Lincoln's favor. New England delivered its expected margins. Pennsylvania, the great prize, went Republican. When the Ohio returns arrived showing Lincoln ahead, the crowd gathered outside on the public square erupted into cheering that rolled down the streets of Springfield like a wave. Lincoln sat reading the dispatches with his characteristic composure, the face that photographers would spend the next 4 years trying to capture and never quite succeeding. That long, bony, melancholy face that could shift in an instant from profound sadness to sudden warm laughter. He walked home to the house on 8th and Jackson Streets around 2 in the morning. Mary was awake. He told her he thought he had been elected President of the United States. Then he lay down on a sofa, exhausted, and looked up at a mirror on the wall across the room. He saw his face reflected there and noticed something strange. His image appeared doubled, one face clear and one slightly ghostly behind it. He mentioned this odd sight to Mary. She interpreted it, with the superstitious dread that never quite left her, as a sign that he would be elected to a second term, but would not survive it. Whether that story is precisely true or a later embellishment hardly matters. It is the kind of story that attaches to Lincoln because it captures something real about him, his tendency to notice odd things and brood on them. Mary's anxious foreboding, the shadow that hung over the whole enterprise from the beginning. Abraham Lincoln endures as the defining American figure, not because his life was a simple success story, but because it was not. He was born in a dirt-floored Kentucky cabin and died in a borrowed bed across the street from Ford's Theater, killed on Good Friday, 1865, 5 days after Lee surrendered at Appomattox. Between those two points lies a story so compressed and consequential that Americans have never stopped arguing about what it means. He is the self-made man who read by firelight and walked miles to borrow books. And he is the president who commanded armies of a million men. He is the politician who told stories and cut deals and played the game. And he is the moralist who chose his words with a precision that no subsequent president has matched. He opposed slavery for decades while refusing to call for immediate abolition and then abolished it. He held the Union together by prosecuting a war that killed more than 600,000 Americans. He is inescapable and inexhaustible. And he was, at the start, just a thin boy in a Kentucky county that no longer exists, with a father who struggled to hold land and a mother who would be dead before he turned 10. F. R. Rochin's 1809-1830. Chapter 1. The Log Cabin. Frontier Childhood in Kentucky and Indiana. Abraham Lincoln was born on February 12, 1809, in a one-room log cabin on the South Fork of Nolan Creek in Hardin County, Kentucky, on a farm known as Sinking Spring, after the limestone spring that ran through the property. The cabin measured 18 feet by 16 feet, with a dirt floor, a single door, one small window covered with greased paper, and a loft where children slept. Thomas Lincoln had purchased the 300-acre Sinking Spring tract in December 1808 for $200, a price that already reflected the legal complications that would plague the family's Kentucky years. Nancy Hanks Lincoln gave birth to their son in that cabin in February, with winter still pressing hard against the hills of the Rolling Fork watershed. Thomas Lincoln was 31 years old at Abraham's birth. He had come from a family of Virginia-born Kentucky settlers. His father, also named Abraham, had been killed by an Indian raiding party in 1786 while clearing a field, an event the future president would later describe as the central trauma of the Lincoln family mythology. Thomas grew up largely without formal schooling, apprenticed himself to a carpenter, and eventually established himself in Hardin County as a skilled craftsman, a respected member of his Baptist church, and a man of modest but real